Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We want to look at one of the most important passages of Scripture when it comes to our faith growing when our circumstances are dying, when your brook dries up, and how to operate with a dried up brook. Now, Elijah the Tishbite is a man that we are introduced to in 1 Kings chapter 17. Doesn't tell us anything about him, but it just tells us that God has chosen to use him to be a man that will send a message to wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel, that God can't be rejected and everything go well. In fact, they had rejected the worship of the Lord and begun to worship Baal. And so God decided, I'm going to dry up this land. And told Elijah, I want you to go talk to Ahab and stand before him and simply say, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now this is 1 Kings 17. And we see that the word of the Lord then came to Elijah and said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. But verse 7 says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now, you and I often experience a dried up brook. We often experience what we could call famines or short times when our finances run out before the wheat does, or worse than that, when we do not have the resources to deal with the hardships that we're facing. And so often, we have nowhere to turn. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And often, we are confronted with what the world would call depression. And boy, we all know what that's like. Now, this is chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Chapter 18 is a fantastic chapter. It's the story of Elijah calling fire down out of heaven. It's the story of the prophets of Baal being shown up. They can't call fire out of heaven. They can't have a great exhibition of their god Baal's power. But Elijah is able to call fire out of heaven with just a short prayer. And I was thinking as I was looking at this, how often we love to have the experiences that are described in chapter 18. We love to see God do some fantastic things. We love to watch those that don't know God become confounded. And even the people that watched all of this take place to respond, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now that's fun. That's exciting. That's revival. But that wasn't the way it always was in Elijah's life. And that's why we had to look at chapter 17 first. Because before God gives us any great exhibition of His power, there has to be an exhibition of our faith. And for that to happen, three things have to happen that happened in Elijah's life. The first one is that we have to recognize the fact that we are under God's rulership. We are under His control, that we indeed are His servants. And if you know Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that you yield your body as members of righteousness. So you give your body to the Lord so that He can use it for His righteous cause. Now we see that Elijah identified himself as the man that stood before the Lord. He said, as the Lord of God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. That expression means, God runs my life. God runs my life. And for us to really see God do some fantastic things, we've got to be able to, first of all, acknowledge the fact that He's the one that runs my life. I think Jesus said it this way, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's part of the Lord's Prayer, of course. In other words, if the kingdom of God is within us, which is what Jesus said, that means that there's a throne, so to speak, in our life. The question is, who sits on it? And every day, God wants to hear from our lips, "Lord, you're on the throne. I'm at your feet. I'm looking at your eyes. I'm listening to your voice. I'm watching your hand, so to speak. I want to be the one that serves you, but you're on the throne." And that's easy to say when it is, "Thy kingdom come." Now, when God sends a drought, you have to be under His rulership to respond in faith and obedience. Elijah didn't know what was going on. He had no clue exactly how God was going to be working. But when God sent the drought came to where he was living as well. And God led Elijah one step at a time. Wouldn't it be neat if God would just kind of show us a full game plan? If we were able to just look at the entire picture and say, "Okay, I can see, God, what you're going to do. This is exciting. And boy, I just can't wait to see how people are going to respond." But that's not at all what God did. God led Elijah one step at a time. He simply said to Elijah, "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Well, was there any other choice? Well, starvation was another choice. But Elijah chose to trust God. And you know, when you're under God's rulership, you'll go where He sends you. You'll stay as long as He directs you. That's exactly what we are learning in the life of Elijah. Because as God is developing his faith, basically he's helping Elijah to understand that as you listen to the word of the Lord, you will find God's directions. We see that the word of the Lord being referred to in verse 2. We also saw in verse 5, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord." And then listen in verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," and then in verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord," and then in verse 16, "According to the word of the Lord," and verse 24, "The word of the Lord." So all the way through this chapter, the word of the Lord is being mentioned. And the word of the Lord has got to be the foundation of your faith. That's why it's so true that your time in the Word will determine your attitude during the times of drought, during the famine, during the hard times. Now, sometimes when we're going through hard times, we have a tendency to turn to others, talk to our friends on the phone or email or texting and bemoaning what we're going through. So many times we talk so much to others, we have no time to talk to God. We have no time to let God talk to us. And so the first thing in the development of Elijah's faith was to hear the word of the Lord. And we've got to be under his rulership to be able to hear his word. And that's why it's so vitally important that you are going to a church where the word of the Lord is taught, where it's explained, where it's patterned in the lives of the pastor or pastors, where it is given forth as the example that we should follow. Now, what's the next step for your faith to grow? Well, what else did God do in the life of Elijah? We see that he brought him to a place where he was going to be fed by a raven, or the ravens, and a brook would come along and would give him the water that he needed. I would call those unusual resources, very unusual resources. Now, when you just stop and think about ravens, ravens normally steal your food. They don't bring you food. And so God had to change the entire nature of these ravens to do what went against their nature to provide for God's servant. What a miracle for the ravens not to steal the food, but to bring the food. And God to bring him to a specific brook. And he said, "Now, Elijah, I have commanded the ravens to feed you here. Had he not obeyed the Lord and gone there, no provision would have been supplied. You see, there is a specific place where God wants you and me to live. It's in the center of his will. It may be a hard place. It may be a place where no family members live. It may be a place that's, cold. You know I was going to say that. It may be a place that is not beautiful with the scenery of mountains or oceans or whatever attracts your attention the most. But it is the place that God has called you to be and to serve. How vitally important it is for us to stay in the will of God and not refuse to follow his will. Because if you leave the will of the Lord, then God is not going to be providing for you as he has designed. So the question is, are you there in your life? Are you where the there is in your life? He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Or have you left God's there and decided you're going to come up with a better plan? It's exactly what Abram did when he got into the promised land the first time, and there was a famine in the land. And so you remember the story. He took his wife Sarah and Lot, and they went down to Egypt and got into a lot of trouble. See, God wanted Abram to live in the promised land, not in Egypt. And as soon as Abram got out of God's will and took matters into his own hands, he got into a mess. And when you and I take matters into our own hands, the same thing happens. Now, Elijah is there every day. The water's flowing down the brook. The ravens are bringing the food. Did you ever wonder if Elijah worried about whether the birds might not come? Oh, yes, they came that morning, but what if they don't come that evening? What if they don't come tomorrow morning? You see, God did not give him a grocery store. God gave him ravens that would feed him one meal at a time. I think the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. It doesn't say our weekly supply. It says our daily supply. Because God wants to cause us to be so dependent upon him on a daily basis that every day we recognize he is our provision. By his hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. So God is developing your faith by sending you to a certain location. The question is, are you under his rulership? Are you living with unusual resources? If so, God is teaching you how to live by faith. It's the only way to live. Join us next time, and we'll continue this story to see how God deepened his faith as he expanded his ministry. That's exactly what God wants to do in our lives, deepen our faith and expand our ministry. So until the next time, may the Lord bless you.